Community Radio.
It's about real people.
Not sound bites.
Not more talking heads.
Not on this show.
Interchange is a community access media forum fostering unfiltered open dialogue on the people, issues, and events impacting life in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Conversations that challenge the ways we perceive the world around us.
Real people.
Real issues.
This is your forum.
This is Interchange.
Hello and welcome to Interchange. My name is Lewis Malone, and I am here with Brian Carney, one of the who is very important to those of you who may know the history of WFHB. But he was the founding general manager, I believe, of WFHB in 1993. But we're here talking with him, especially for a special fun drive edition of Interchange, to talk about the history of WFHB, how we got to be where we are, and where we're going in the future. Hopefully we can talk about that a little bit. But Brian has been with us from the beginning, and I want to welcome him for being here with us now.
Well, thanks, Lewis. I'm always happy to be here at the Firehouse. Always.
Oh, WFHB, Firehouse Broadcasting. So I guess, Brian, you work at the university now, and you've been there for about 10 years. But the history of WFHB goes well beyond your work at the university. It is, I believe it starts in the summer of 75, or I'll let you open up that story.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Lewis, it predates my time in Bloomington. So, Jeffrey Morris, Jim Mannion, Mark Hood, some other folks back in the early to mid-70s, had this notion of some kind of locally based, community radio media. And community radio existed around the country and has been around since the late 1940s. But the idea was to do a unique and Bloomington version of that. And so those guys really kind of were the ones who had the idea and the concept and in fact got it officially started back in 1975 and incorporated this thing. And then I came along a few years later really intrigued by what they were doing. And quite honestly, I didn't even know what community radio was when I first heard of it. I grew up in New York and I was familiar with college radio, familiar with FM type radio stations that would maybe take a few more chances, we might say edgier in terms of their programming. But community radio was really kind of a foreign concept to me at the time. But absolutely, I was intrigued.
Absolutely. And I think it is an interesting thing just to talk about in general. When we say community radio, what do we mean by that? I mean, you had mentioned a little bit that this is a radio station of the community and by the community. Mm-hmm. But is that really what we're talking about, or are there other aspects to community that differentiates it from the other types?
I love that question. I think there is a distinction. I think it's an interesting one. And the distinction being that we would contrast community radio from commercial radio. That's probably kind of obvious. But college radio, public radio, which are other kind of non-commercial types of broadcasting. Absolutely. So what distinguishes community from those others? And I think the difference is, at its essence, is that community radio wants to make the world a better place. It wants to influence. It wants to be sort of a social change agent. Okay. There's different ways to kind of phrase it, but that right there is different than any other type of radio type broadcasting that we might be talking about, which all the others are seeking an audience.
Absolutely.
And as are we, but community radio wants to not only seek that audience, it wants to engage that audience, wants to, in a sense, influence that audience and evolve that community to what it believes is just making, like I said, the world a better place. And that's a little different.
Well, I think it's very different. You aren't just, especially in contrast to commercial radio, we aren't just sending things out with hope we get ad revenue back in. We're sending things out in the hopes that we're going to engage people's minds and engage their, maybe their civic engagement or whatever else we are trying to do. But that's really interesting. It's a very interesting philosophy behind community radio. But this, so we're back in the 1970s. What are we doing to try to have WFHB be the station that it is today or that it would become in 1993? What are the processes that it took to make WFHB a radio station?
Well, the you know, when you just have the idea, the concept, then the key step is that you have to find a frequency, and you're looking in the FM dial, and you're looking in the lower end of the FM dial, because those frequencies from, say, like, I won't get this exactly right, but from like 87 FM to around 92, that lower end of the dial is what's set aside for non-commercial radio. So the organization is looking there, and then the tricky part, the big challenge, is that Channel 6 television audio, believe it or not, falls in an FM frequency just below that part of the FM dial. Oh. And given that Indianapolis has a Channel 6 television station, that there's a Channel 6 television station about 50 miles away from where we were trying to locate, you know, without getting too technical, that was quite a problem. It was a huge problem. And in fact, Channel 6 television stations around the country were kind of protecting their territory against non-commercial, which would be college public and community broadcasters, seeking to kind of establish frequencies in that lower end of the FM dial in geographies that were like 50 miles away. And unfortunately, we were like, exact sort of, I don't know, there, on the one hand you'd say if it was great we were in this would have been in the sweet spot, so whatever the opposite of the sweet spot is, we that's where we were. Mm-hmm. And how that really kind of resolved itself, it wasn't that we were embroiled in a battle specifically, it was something going on nationally, and we just we tried some different things that ultimately didn't work. Things that we tried took a really long time to sort of resolve themselves one way or the other. And the blessing of all that, strangely enough, is that because it took so long, by the time we were sort of done checking out all the other options, there finally was a resolution to this conflict, and it allowed us to finally establish our kind of beachhead frequency at 91.3 FM. However, mm-hmm. establish it in a tower that's 12 miles outside of Bloomington. Oh. And why is that? It's because of Channel 6 television. That's why our main frequency comes from 12 miles away, even though Bloomington is the sort of core geography that we're seeking to serve.
Absolutely. And we do serve all sorts. We serve Ellettsville and Nashville and Bedford as well. But Bloomington, it's been the hub.
Right.
Of WFHB. And here we are in the firehouse, right downtown Bloomington as we speak. I am speaking with Brian Carney here, and he was the original GM of WFHB in 1993. So we are here now. We're not necessarily fighting WRTV6, but we are no longer.
Yeah, and nor were we ever, like I said, we were never specifically, you know, battling them. But at the same time, but
nationally, there was a move between people in their situation and people in our situation.
Yes.
There was a little bit of conflict.
Exactly.
And so we are moving through that. As we're doing this, as we're going through some of the technical machinations, I'm interested in wondering what's happening locally. How are we getting the community connected to WFHB, because we have people such as Jim Mannion, who's still here at the radio station. I'm sure people hear him on a regular basis, and Jeffrey Morris, who's still here at the radio mm-hmm. station, and doing great work, the both of them. And so, what are we doing what is the station doing, to you know, the budding station, to try to develop some community support during these early days?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're kind of, you know, maybe working on a couple of different levels. One was ongoing from day one in the mid-1970s, which is kind of engaging a grassroots local effort to keep people informed. And that was done via sort of print communications. There were newsletters at the time. We are, you know, we're pre-internet, so we're in the we're in the Stone Age, I guess. But there are benefits that are happening. There is an organization that is having meetings. It is, you know, talking about the philosophy of community radio. There are people that are here in Bloomington that are in contact with other community radio stations around the country and kind of learning from them. And then I think, you know, I would say that when I got involved in the, you know, kind of early to mid 1980s, what I started doing was then kind of connecting to business leaders, educators, politicians, kind of making those rounds to, you could call them the pillars of the community. Yeah. And so the two levels, one, it was almost like we were working on the grassroots level, and those were clearly going to be, I thought, the people who would actually be involved with the station. They would be volunteers at the station. They would organize benefits. They would be programmers. They would be the people that would keep the station on the air, like they knew music. They were involved with not-for-profits. Then I felt like to have the resources to actually go on the air and the contacts to network and navigate the FCC in Washington, I felt like that was where we needed to connect to business leaders, leaders in the community who could sort of embrace us as an organization and find at least some people, if not, you know, whoever it would be, to be the allies who would kind of take us under their wing and help, you know, kind of help us navigate. And then once we got our approvals from the Federal Communications Commission, that we were going to need some serious money to, you know, so volunteers were, you know, once the thing was established, they were going to be key, but without funding, there was going to be nothing to volunteer at. And so I was trying to sort of work that level and make the organization legitimate in the eyes of, I'll call them, the pillars of the community.
Okay. And so you're talking to the powers that be, trying to make, really just trying to figure out how we have this great idea of community radio. We have people power behind it. But as we all know, that sometimes money does play a factor. And so you're sitting there working with the pillars, trying to build the financial support to WFHB. Was there anyone in particular that you would say was especially helpful in that effort, or was the whole community just really happy to have a new community radio station coming to fruition here in Bloomington?
Well, there was, Lewis, there was one, yeah, very key person, and that was Herman Wells. And I started working for Dr. Wells just on his staff in the mid-1980s. The reason, though, that I approached him was that I was approaching him as a representative, as a leader of this organization trying to establish a community radio station. So the first time I ever met with him, it was to discuss the effort to establish a community radio station. And what, you know, how things sort of worked out between he and I is that maybe a year or so later, I began working for him. And that just put us obviously into contact on an ongoing basis. And that ongoing contact and kind of the relationship and friendship that developed between us, he came to sort of understand what this was about. And he and he came around and became a mentor to me and an ally to the station, and it was amazing. I mean, without there's a lot of statements in Bloomington that could start with without Herman Wells,
absolutely,
and
yes.
then such and such would not have been established, or you could start a sentence with because of Herman Wells something was established. And I would say because of Herman Wells we were eventually able to make some other contacts and navigate the FCC and get to the other side. And I'm really not sure if we would have pulled it off without him.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wells.
Yes.
Thank you.
I second that.
We are here speaking with Brian Carney, here the first general manager of WFHB Community Radio. And we and you're listening to Interchange. We will be back just a moment. But right now, we are going to head back to Pledge Central.
Here we are, asking for your phone calls, 323-1200. It is WFHB's Spring Pledge Drive. That's your opportunity to give back to the year-round programming that we give to you. And when I say we, I mean this entire community, you, the listener, probably listener/volunteer, listener/supporter, definitely our volunteers who come in the music department, in the news department. And listening to this interview is just so exciting for me. I feel so strongly about WFHB and what it does for this community. And the thing that warms my heart every single day as I step into the station is how many people came together, how many people thought that this was what this was worth their time, worth their free time, to come together and deal with people from all aspects of the community, the surrounding community, the six counties that we come to. As the interview has pointed out so far, that we weren't always in downtown Bloomington. Our original location out on Radio Ridge had people driving for an hour just to go sit in there and do their two-hour music shift because they wanted to be on the radio. They wanted to bring radio to Bloomington and the surrounding counties that wasn't already on the air. WFHB has brought so much in those years, 20 years since we've been on the air, coming up on 20 years next year, which is a big celebration that we're all looking forward to. Keep us, let us make it to the 20th year. Give us a call, 323-1200. This is your only chance during our spring fund drive to specifically help out Interchange. Interchange has been on the air really before we had a news department. We're bringing people in and having these in-depth conversations, letting you get to know a subject, really the whole circle around the subject. You're not just seeing one angle that a lot of stations will project or 1 5-minute scratch of the surface. We spend the entire hour, we give up an entire broadcast hour to bring you these kind of discussions. One reason why we have some time to give to stuff like this is because we don't air commercials. We're not breaking into your programming every 5 minutes to air commercials. We're actually not funded commercially at all. We're only funded by volunteer, both their sweat equity, the people who come in and run this, and the volunteer contributions, and then some public broadcast funds because we're a public service bringing information like this. Show that you appreciate that. 323-1200. The people who've come together and had those late night committees talking about, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we had a community radio station? That day is here. We have the station. Now it's our time to come together and say, wouldn't it be cool to keep this radio station going? 323-1200. If you're not by your telephone, but you are browsing the web on one device or another, you can hop over to WFHB.org. The biggest thing you'll see on our website is a big button to donate now. That's exactly what I'm asking you to do. Donate now, 323-1200. Really hoping to get some pledges for Interchange. If you tune in every Tuesday or if you catch the Interchange programs online and they've brought something to you, you've learned something new, you've seen a perspective that you hadn't thought of before, you get a more in-depth understanding of something, that means that you are benefiting from this show and you have your appreciation shown by calling 323-1200. We're going to return to host Louis Malone and guest Brian Carney, the original general manager of WFHB, to tell you a little bit more about the entire effort that went into making this beautiful community radio project.
Good evening and welcome back. We are here on Interchange here on WFHB. I am Louis Malone and I am here with Brian Carney. We are talking about he was the original general manager of WFHB. And we are talking about, during this special Pledge Drive edition of Interchange, the founding of WFHB and a little bit of the history of how we got to be where we are. I want to thank Mr. Carney for being here, and I will thank you all for joining us again. So, Mr. Carney, why don't we go ahead and why don't you just explain a little bit about yourself, what brought you to Bloomington, how you, and just what you're up to now.
Sure. Well, I'm kind of part of that Bloomington demographic of people who came to IU and never left, and there's a bunch of us. And so I grew up in New York, a small town not too far from New York City, and came to IU having never visited Bloomington prior to coming here, which could have been a dumb thing, I guess. but what drew me here was I'm a musician, was a musician, still am a musician, so being sort of at least connected to the music school, even though I was not intending, nor was I, a music major. I was a business major, and so I was kind of looking to be sort of pragmatic in my choices, but still sort of indulging in my passion for music. And I had sort of read about IU and Bloomington as being this very sort of cool college town with a great atmosphere, and that just seemed like the recipe to me. Yeah. And so that drew me here. And then I went on to get a master's in arts administration, which is a really great program, and a program that I was going through when WFHB was going on the air. So it was really a very practical degree, in that I would go from kind of literally sometimes from the classroom into the downtown firehouse offices, and I would have learned something in the classroom that I could implement on behalf of the organization. So that's what got me here. And then organizing and leading WFHB, raising money, and the key donor, so the key ally, was Herman Wells, and he was actually a very generous donor to the station. But in addition to that, he connected me to Cecil Waldron, and the right next door to the Ivy Tech John Waldron Arts Center. Well, that Waldron name, that family name, is an old Bloomington name, and there was some wealth in that family. We can even say old Bloomington money. Cecil Waldron was somebody who was somebody who grew up who. By virtue of marriage, came into some money, and her life story tied her to the building next door, which was originally City Hall, and she used to work there. So Herman Wells knew all these things. He knew he knew people. He knew stories, and he kind of helped put me on a path to connect to her, and she became the great benefactor to both the Waldron Arts Center and to WFHB, and it's why we're both here in this complex.
She was here on 4th Street.
She was the difference maker. So that got me into fundraising and development, and I circled back to IU and did work at the IU Art Museum for a few years after being general manager at WFHB, and then from there went to the law school. And so I've kind of evolved into this career, but it evolves from my experience in organizing and leading WFHB.
And what a leader you were. You brought us here. You were part of the process to have even begin broadcasting with January 4th, 1993. We've gone from the summer of 1975. We've been connecting. We've been working. We've been building community support. And so we get to air, January 4th, 1993. What was that first day on the air like?
It was raining cats and dogs. It literally was raining like crazy. And we were out at what we still call Radio Ridge. So that we were out I described earlier that because of Channel 6 television, we needed to kind of establish our main signal outside of town so that would, so in a sense that it would not overpower the television signal by the time it got to the downtown Bloomington area. So we went, we had enough funds to build our transmitter and our tower out at what we call Radio Ridge out in southwest Monroe County. And the very, when we opened the microphone up on January 4th, 1993, we kind of made our opening announcement of we now commence broadcast operations. And so we made that sort of official legal announcement that we had to make, and of course we're very happy to finally be making it. And then the first sound beyond that those human voices making that announcement was the sound of a gong loaned to us by Herman Wells, and it came from China, but it was known as a welcoming gong. And so its traditional use was that it was, when it was struck, the sound was meant to ring out and welcome a stranger or visitor to the community. And the whole concept of that just seemed so beautiful to me and so appropriate.
Absolutely.
The sound of this gong, it had, in sort of recording engineering terms, it had a long decay, which means that when you struck it, the sound just went on and on and on for a long time. And so that was the sound. And as it sort of slowly faded, the segue, the overlap of sound was a version of Turn Your Radio On by a guy named Roy Acuff. And so it was incongruous. It didn't, in a sense, it didn't work at all. It was a clash. It was a crazy juxtaposition. And perfect.
Perfect. The way, and WFHB was born. I mean, in so many ways. It was, we were on the air. We were broadcasting. And originally, I mean, I am here. I'm a volunteer. I've been a volunteer for a couple of years with WFHB News. But at that time, it was WFHB Music. It was, we were a radio station, all music, all the time.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, we were, and we were, and what we were basically prevailing upon were individual volunteers who would drive out to the countryside, make a, you know, like a 12-mile drive out to the countryside, load up, you know, music in the trunks of their cars. And we had some music out there, but it was supplemented by volunteers who would then do a show and drive back into town. And this went on for about a year. That's how the station stayed on the air. And that was great, but it wasn't, you know, that I was nervous, one, for the volunteers, just making this drive out in the countryside on these winding roads. I just, you know, just prayed that everyone would be safe and happily, you know, no accidents along the way. But we weren't viable on a couple of levels. One, we weren't truly accessible because of just geographically where we were. And we also weren't really viable as an ongoing organization, and I just mean pure economics. It wasn't really working. We weren't on the air long enough. We weren't taking in enough sort of listener support and underwriting support from local businesses to sustain us. And so we were faced with having to take the next step. Fortunately, because of Mrs. Waldron's philanthropy, we did have this downtown firehouse adjacent to the Waldron Arts Center as a space. It was our space. It just was unfinished. And so what happened was I kind of put the question to people. What was clear was that we needed to be broadcasting more hours. We were going on in the afternoon and going into the night. but it was clear that we needed to expand our broadcast day. Mm-hmm. And the question was, where are we going to do this from? And the volunteers said, we're happy to sign on at 6 a.m. However, we need to be downtown to be doing that. Mm-hmm. So this next push then happened. And so we came downtown in February of 1994 is when we came downtown and so, expanded our operations at that point.
So for about, so this is very important for people who, there, we have a lot of people in Bloomington that come for a period of time or they only come for 4 years. So they might not realize that if you know, if you've walked by, you know where WFHB is, we weren't always there. We used to be out. You used to have to make a trip in. So, and I appreciate that as a volunteer that we're now downtown. But in Radio Ridge, it's a beautiful place, beautiful out there. But not ideal for broadcasting on a wide range of hours. So you made the push. Was it a fund drive, or was it just a matter of getting the manpower, volunteer manpower, to get us set up here at the firehouse?
It was both, Lewis. I mean, there was a volunteer effort. We had, you know, we had people who were connected to the station who were carpenters and laborers and all sorts of great, fantastic, you know, building skills. And then there was more money that was raised. And between those two things, we were able to sort of rebuild some offices, and we used one of them as our studio. And then we used kind of the back of the firehouse as our library. And so that got us, so it still was an unfinished product, but it was the next step.
Yes.
And that then gave us a place where people could just, now they could just come downtown. And the other thing was that we also established then this link, it's engineering terms, but we needed to then send our signal from the firehouse out to Radio Ridge. That was still where the main tower was. So we put a tower up downtown and established that link. Once all those things happened, we were suddenly signing on in the morning, and then we began talking about providing news as part of this sort of all this sort of hip and cool music that we were playing. To be a full-fledged community station, we needed to get into the news and information and local talk aspect of things.
Yes. And so that is where we are. We're on a news program now on our Tuesday Interchange, where we have these great guests, as I have today, Brian Carney. And we are talking about the founding of WFHB, how we came to be where we are. This is Fund Drive, and as he has mentioned a couple times so far, it is very, very important that we get support from all of our listeners, because it's the only way that this volunteer-powered, volunteer through and through from the beginning, can keep functioning, because that money is necessary. So right now, we are going to take a break. We'll be coming back here very shortly, but we are going to send you over to, we're going to head back over to Pledge Central. So I'm Lewis Malone with Interchange. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Lewis. That was quite a pitch for a fun drive. And I am here in Pledge Central waiting for those phones to go off. 323-1200 is how you can show your support. I'm Allison Bektesh. I'm WFHB. So are you. And I'm the news director here and listening to the history of WFHB. I mean, I realize I'm just the newest of all the volunteers and all the people who came together who are just so passionate about WFHB and have put in so much time to make this community radio station bring you this empowerment. I mean, as a listener, you're also empowered, but we provide information that you don't hear anywhere else. Quality of life, what's going on in your community, who can you connect to, who's disadvantaged, who needs their recognition. We provide all that information here. We have 17 locally produced shows, in-house volunteers who live around you, your friends and neighbors come in and donate their time to make sure that all of those shows go off, go on the air and bring you the information you're not going to hear on other stations. And that volunteer group is really, really important. We are a co-op. We're a community radio station. So everyone who's involved gets a voice. And you get a voice, even if you're not a volunteer, by calling right now, showing your support for specific shows. So if you're an Interchange fan, please call 323-1200 and show your support for this show. We tally up these numbers. We see how many calls come in during every show and make sure that we are providing the listeners what we want. So whereas Fund Drive is stressful in a way because these are our operating funds that we are counting on to just make it the next 6 months. For me, it's a really, really fun time to connect to the listeners. I love to see that support from the people who tune in every week. You get this information, you get a new interview every week on Interchange, you get volunteers speaking with other community members, and you get that connection between them and between yourself and the rest of your community. Show your support, 323-1200. And think about your relationship to WFHB compared to other stations that you listen to. Most other stations see you as an advertising dollar. If they can get you to buy something, then their advertisers will advertise on their station, and that's all you get. With us, we want to hear your feedback. 323-1200. Call right now. I'd love to talk to you. We want your feedback on the shows. We want your involvement in the news. We want to cover your events. We want to interview you, and we want to bring you interviews that you won't hear anywhere else. That's what's so important about having a community radio station that's focused on what will benefit the local community, not what story will have the most sensational headline, not what story has the biggest impact nationally. Local news, what's going on next door that you wouldn't have found out about in any other way? What local nonprofit needs the coverage because they're working for the community as well. That's what we think is important, and that's what we go after with our WFHB news department. I would love to see a phone call come in. I haven't seen one yet for Interchange. Interchange actually has a goal of $180 in this hour. That can be accomplished so simply, specifically with our sustaining membership pledge. That's $120, but it's split up between $10 payments once a month. And if you listen to WFHB all the time, if this is the station you have in your car, on in your car, or while you're around the house, then $10 a month is a great fee for that. And it really, really helps us because we know we're going to have a steady stream of money coming in every month. Those $10 will keep coming in. But if you want to give all at once, we'll take that too. And there's no pledge that's too small. If you show your support, then we at least know we have that other community member who's also listening and also appreciating what we're doing. So if you haven't called yet because you don't think you have enough money to give, there is no amount that's too small. We'll take anything that you have to offer just to show that WFHB and community radio is important to you. Also, by donating tonight, you are going to be automatically entered into two raffles that we have coming up. The sooner you donate, the more raffles you will be entered into. Therefore, a free stay at the Showers Inn Bed and Breakfast right in downtown Bloomington. You'll be entered into that today. If you donate today, we have a raffle coming up tomorrow evening and then again later in the fund drive. If you wait until the end of fund drive to donate, you're not going to be in that first raffle and you will diminish your chances. I can't calculate the probability, but it will be less the longer you wait. Again, 323-1200. If you're out at dinner right now and can't grab the phone, make sure to check us out on the web later, wfhb.org. It's another great way to donate and help out the station. This is money that goes directly into our operating fund. So we're not setting aside money for a rainy day fund or some big project down the road. This is actually what we need to pay our syndicated programming, which we think is really important to get you connected to the outside world, and our rent and our electricity. We have utility fees and our minimal staff. It's just the money we need to get by every month, and we rely on you twice a year to call in, show your support, 323-1200. I'm going to let Lewis and Brian get back to their conversation about the founding of this station and what went into launching WFHB Community Radio.
Welcome back. We are here on WFHB, WFHB's Interchange. We are here with Brian Carney, the original general manager for WFHB when we took to the air January 4th, 1993. But while you are the general manager, and you were the general manager, and you were a major part of us becoming a radio station, there's someone else that had a lot of influence. Someone that might be called the founder, the original founder of WFHB, or here locally in Bloomington. I didn't know if you wanted to tell us a little bit about him.
Well, I think what's interesting, Lewis, to try to kind of put things in a real historical context is to talk about a guy named Lewis Hill. Great name, Lewis, don't you
I'm
think?
A big fan. I'm a big fan of him already.
Yeah, me too. And I can't remember his life story. I mean, this is a man who was a Quaker and was a war resistor to World War II, the war that everybody was for. This guy was not for, and he was, because he was a pacifist and didn't believe in war at all. And he founded the original community radio station, which was KPFA in Berkeley, California. And the PFA is an abbreviation for Pacifica, and Pacifica is the Spanish word for peace. And this embodied for him the value of peace, of we talked earlier about how community radio is something that wants to make the world a better place, that really wants to influence the conversation, influence people by virtue of talking about ideas and playing music that perhaps isn't heard in other places. It really goes back to this guy Lou Hill, and it goes back to KPFA in Berkeley, and them going on the air in 1949 is where this whole thing started. And so you really have this, really a different concept of how to go about broadcasting, and I think that kind of helps frame it. Somebody who came along a lot later, 60s and certainly the 1970s, was a guy named Lorenzo Milam. And Lorenzo was enamored with KPFA and was just amazed at the type of radio that it was. And what he felt like was missing in all this was, you know, people who are passionate, people who are idealistic, can sometimes be very serious mind, not always, but they certainly can be. And Lorenzo felt like the part that was missing was sort of fun and whimsy. And he appreciated the passion, he appreciated the idealism, but he wanted to sort of interject this other element of, this should really be fun. So he was kind of a Pied Piper of community radio, and he helped establish a bunch of stations around the country. And his sort of kind of the way that he, one of the ways that he left his mark and sort of imbued his philosophy into all this were the call letters that were chosen. And they were kind of goofy and a little bit in ways self-deprecating. And so you'd wind up with KRAB, which is a station out west, or KBOO, KBOO, or WORT in Madison, Wisconsin, WORT. they're all sort of meant to elicit maybe a little smile, you know, crab, boo, you know, WORT, warts and all radio. These sorts of things were ways that Lorenzo, again, sort of infused his philosophy. And then when we sort of came along, we never knew Lou Hill. I don't know when he passed away, but we did know, we met Lorenzo. We knew him. And I guess my thinking was that maybe the next step to sort of take in all this was to try to have radio and broadcasting and media, local media, that was as inclusive and respectful as possible, along with having fun and along with wanting to make the world a better place. And I think that the distinction would be that all of this stuff, going back to Lou Hill and the pacifism, is that you're really kind of talking about things that were progressive, left-leaning, liberal politics, and of course, that's a big umbrella and a big tent. Absolutely. That I've just described. But I would say some of the thinking was to try to be even more inclusive than that, and not to say that this was unprecedented, but that community radio tends to lean towards, without a doubt, the progressive, left-leaning, progressive-type politics, wherever it is. And what I wanted to sort of see was something that would be tolerant and inclusive and respectful of opinions, no matter where they were coming from. So whatever you want to just deem as conservative or right or Republican or religious, that to me there should be a place for sort of all those things, and that if you could somehow do that well, that it would make for very, very interesting broadcasting. And I think if you did it in a way that bred a culture of respect and tolerance, that you would still be true to the original idealism of Lou Hill of wanting to make the world a better place. And then I just thought it would also be interesting to kind of have this informed dialogue going back and forth, because if you're a critical thinker, then your ideas, if you can sort of test them against someone or an organization that has perhaps a different view, it either, I think, strengthens your own sort of point of view because you really get to compare it, or your idea might evolve, hopefully, to being a better idea or a better concept about how to move forward because of this exchange of ideas. That, to me, is very idealistic and is something that I always, whenever I see examples of it at this station, I personally am extremely happy.
Yes. Well, and it's the idea of community radio not as going to one specific community, but as being a part of maybe a mirror of the community at large. And I think what you're saying about the history of community radio, I don't think that surprises anybody who listens to, who knows about Pacifica Radio or some of the things that they put out, Democracy Now! Perhaps, that they are very progressive. But the idea that here in town, we want to have a place for all ideas to come together and be shared in a respectful place, in a respectful way, and to really raise the discourse across that for the entire community. Was that in part a political decision, or was that really just idealistically you felt? I mean, were there people in the community who perhaps didn't like the idea of a community radio station and wanted it to be, hey, you need to make sure you're having both sides here? Or was it this is what I really want?
For me, it was idealistic.
Okay.
And not that everyone viewed it that way. So there's a tension in stating and going about implementing, this approach. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was idealistic, and the way that I viewed it as a leader was that and I talked about this actually with Lorenzo Milam one time, that if you're just getting one point of view, and just to say that, I realize I'm oversimplifying, but to make a point, but if you're just kind of sort of hearing from one perspective, my personal belief is that tends to be a little bit of an echo chamber, and even you could say is a bit like propaganda. It's whatever the party line is, and we're just going to sort of echo the party line. But from an idealistic standpoint, if you're really going to sort of change and evolve things, my personal view would be that you need to sort of get beyond the choir that is singing from the same page in the hymnal with you to people that either, sort of don't disagree or whose minds are not made up. And how you will reach those people is by offering them not only your viewpoint, but somebody else's viewpoint, and having this sort of civil discourse, and may the best idea sort of win out, and trust that it will sort of win out. And where maybe some of the cynical view of that would be, oh, that's just a ploy to be able to get into sort of more moneyed type areas. Yeah. you're just doing that as a ploy to reach somebody who has a different point of view, but they have you know, financial resources to support you. That's not where it sort of starts out with. This viewpoint doesn't start out with that as the end result. But I think there's a congruency. So I don't see a conflict, but to me, it's always there's been a congruency to this sort of reaching out, this inclusiveness in terms of different viewpoints. And in doing that, you do have more people that you can prevail upon to make in this case, a community radio station more financially viable by virtue of who you can reach out to, but who is also available in terms of having an audience that can call in during a fund drive. And so I don't see any conflict whatsoever. I just think it's a sort of better, more viable, and still idealistic way to go about doing this.
So would you say that WFHB as a platform for ideas, obviously pushing, looking to progress society at large, but as a platform for all ideas, is kind of where we were when the news department was founded? Because that was founded under your watch as well. Would you say that was maybe the guiding philosophy there?
Yeah. I mean, yes, it was. And I think, as we were getting started, it was what we were simply trying to, we saw this as an opportunity, one, to include the people that were already just drawn to it, drawn to WFHB and wanted to do news or wanted to do talk shows, people who are just, you know, champing at the bit to do that sort of thing. And in order to kind of strike some more inclusiveness, it was incumbent upon us and something that I sort of personally endeavored to do, which was outreach. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just unlocking the doors or broadcasting that you're welcome to come down, which we did and continue to do, but was also going out to people and saying, you really should be part of this. We need you to be, you're part of this community, and we need you to be a part of this dialogue.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. Again, this is Interchange. I'm here with Brian Carney, the first general manager of WFHB. And as we are, it is Fund Drive, as we've said multiple times. And is there any message you'd like to give to people out there who are maybe on the fence about donating? Maybe they don't know whether this is really something they want to donate to. But as we wrap, as we wrap up the interview today, is there anything that you'd like to say to those folks out there?
Well, I think that, you know, as much of a chore and as much of a burden it can be to be a listener during Fund Drive, think here we are in the midst of another campaign season, and people are politicking either for election or re-election to local or national offices. This is kind of, the polls are open. When the phone lines are open, this is like our polling place. And we actually like that we are vulnerable and open and in a certain way in need of your phone call. That's important for us to make that connection to you, that we're not just here in a high-minded, secure, broadcast operation, that we actually do need, and we are vulnerable to you as a listener and the community to reach out to us and support us. So we hope that, in a sense, that you'll vote and reelect WFHB until the next fund drive, because it's something that you endorse. And if you endorse it, we need you to financially endorse it by calling us at 323-1200.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you so much for being with us, Brian Carney.
Well, thanks, Lewis. It's been a pleasure, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the station. Thank you very much.
Thanks also to our assistant producer, Shane Young, for engineering tonight's program. Interchange is produced by me, Lewis Malone, and executive producer, Allison Bektesh. Our theme music is by Jamil Effiam. Stay tuned for Stardust with Tillman, coming up next on WFHB.
Real people.
Real issues.
This is your forum.
This is Interchange.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers working in the studios of Community Radio WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana.
Interchange fosters unfiltered open dialogue on the people, issues, and events impacting life in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Comments, suggestions, and program ideas may be sent directly to the Interchange staff.
The email address is news@wfhb.org.
That address once again is news@wfhb.org.